We had a very special group visit us recently. What's Billy's last name? Topatate. Billy, that's why I have trouble with it. Billy Topatate. Some of you know her. She brings a group here every year. It's a metaphysical group from, where is it, Michigan or? Chicago. Metaphysical group from Chicago. And they come and some of them have been coming now for 2 or 3 years. And you can tell they came because there's offerings all over the place. You know, she teaches them to give. Bring flowers for the deities. Bring flowers for this. Bring dakshina for the monks and so forth. So we're overwhelmed with flowers in the temple and special gifts and dakshina and everything. And thank you notes afterwards. Even afterwards, she has them, she encourages them, not all of them do it, of course, but to write a note of thank you for the talk. How many times do you give a talk and afterwards get 5 or 10 notes of thank you for your wonderful talk? And Sam Swami says the puja had a very nice vibration that day, which shows a kind of drawing on the inner worlds, really wanting to get blessed and had been nicely prepared for the experience. You know, that's what we hope for as a nice model for other groups in the future, that a teacher can prepare the members of his or her group in such a nice way that they come and really get a lot out of their experience and fit in so beautifully. So I gave a short talk. I was trying to keep it simple. Swami, KISS principle, keep it simple, Swami. Variation on the KISS principle. And trying to talk about Hinduism in a simple way, you know, because the group doesn't have a lot of background in terms of Sanskrit words or concepts, but you know their heart is right there, and they have a certain grasp of metaphysical principles. So they have a good feeling for Hinduism without the details of the terminology. So I didn't want to burden them with a lot of Sanskrit words or too many different concepts. So, of course, the challenge, as any teacher knows, is to say something simply and succinctly. You know, it's easy to ramble on forever and easy to explain things with complex words, but to say it in a short, concise statement that can be understood by people without a lot of background, that's the challenge. So I went through a few different concepts, 3 of them to be precise. One of them was on the four stages of identity, which is related to who am I and who we aren't. You know, it's saying here we're not our body, mind, or emotions. We are divine souls on a wondrous journey. So all of this is getting back to that sentence in a long way. So went through the idea of 4 different identities that quite often we start out with an external ego identity, which is negative. Then we move to an external ego identity, which is positive. Then we move to an internal spiritual identity of being the soul, but separate from others. Then we move to the internal spiritual identity of being the core of the soul, in which case we're one with everyone and we are experiencing God. So I went through that explanation, starting out by explaining, you know, what it is to be an unworthy, feel like a negative external identity, feeling unworthy and so forth, and where that comes from. It comes from how we're raised, primarily by our parents, and how that's reinforced by our teachers. And if it's done a certain way, then we grow up and we have a very poor self-concept. We feel we're not worthy. We feel other people are smarter than we are. We've been told we're stupid a lot, and we believe it. You know, so if we end up with that baggage, which could be avoided if the parents and the teachers raised us differently, we have to throw it off. So afterwards, I'm told she talked to one of the monks, and she really liked that. I went on at some length on that point, and she said even the children present, there's some around 10 or 12 years old, could relate to that point, and she was very happy it was being made, the whole idea of how to correct children in a positive way and how to avoid creating this sense of feeling unworthy, this negative external ego. Doesn't have to be there. We don't have to put it into children. But if we do, then we have to throw it off and move into the positive ego, feeling just as good as everyone else, maybe a little better if we've got some pride. But anyway, we're okay. Someone else has a problem. If there's a problem, it belongs to someone else, not to us. You know, we have a positive attitude about what we can accomplish, though it may be somewhat egotistical. And then that is necessary. In other words, we can't go from a negative attitude to feeling we're a divine being. Doesn't work. No way we're a divine being. We're worthless, this and that. I can tell you why. You know, all the things I did wrong, all the times my parents told me I was stupid. You know, we can't move from that consciousness of feeling badly about ourselves to feeling we're a divine being. We have to feel good about ourselves first. Once we do, then we have the chance of moving into this spiritual identity of being the soul, in terms of our Sanskrit terminology, Atma Darshana. We see ourselves as an individual soul, a pure spiritual being. And then taking that one step deeper is the Paramatma Darshana, going into the core of the soul and experiencing Satchit Ananda and Parashiva in our terminology, or omnipresence and transcendence, God's omnipresence and God's transcendence. But that's only half the story. It's a great philosophy. We can sit there and read the Upanishads and get inspired. Now, this is great. You know, man is not man, man is God, Atman is Brahman. You know, it can be pretty inspiring stuff to read that. But what's missing? We don't have the tools to make it a reality in our life, right? Well, how do we do this? How do we move from a negative self-concept to a positive self-concept? How do we move from a positive self-concept to a divine identity? How do we move from a divine identity to an identity with God? Well, that's why we've got the other book, Merging with Shiva, right? That's got more tools than we can ever use in one lifetime, and it gives us the how-to. So that's the beauty of Gurudeva's teachings. It gives the high philosophy, but it also gives us practical techniques that we can utilize in our daily life and transform our consciousness over time. In this case, move ourselves through these four stages of identity. And of course, and actually this was in one of the lessons recently too, just about the time I was mentioning it. Two of the primary tools for this purpose are the Vasana Daha Tantra and affirmations. So through clearing the mind out of all the miscellaneous experiences that have happened to us, all the unresolved problems, all the negative situations, harmonizing ourselves with our parents, our teachers, other people, our brothers and sisters, where there wasn't harmony before, forgiving people we thought mistreated us and we had grudges against. Going through all of that, which is part of the Vasana Daha Tantra, clears out the subconscious. It's like taking out the trash. You know, we've got an empty can finally. And then we have to remold the subconscious through the power of affirmation. So we have those techniques as well to develop a sense of being a positive person, that we can accomplish things, and then to develop a sense of our divine identity. So those are just two of the major tools involved in that process. So all of that is just one sentence, right?